Good morning, everybody. My name's Stephen, for those who don't know, pastor of the church here, and it's a delight to welcome you. We've got a few visitors here today, so it's nice to see those who we know, those who we don't know. It's great to be here. I just asked Joy, who was playing. I love that last song she was playing, and I couldn't remember what the line was, and it's Standing on Holy Ground. And that's a privilege, isn't it? We come into God's presence standing on holy ground. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, that you have called this place holy, and you've made it holy by being present here. Thank you that as we come into this place this morning, as we gather to listen to this service this morning, wherever we are, is holy ground. Pray that we'll be aware of your presence and of your great love for us. Amen. Today you'll be pleased to know there's just one notice. It's not really a notice. It was a special birthday yesterday for Jackie, and I have asked her permission. So she's happy for me to embarrass her a little, but not a lot. But I said that yesterday was Jackie's 70th birthday. Was it actually yesterday the day?
Yesterday.
It was yesterday. It was her 70th birthday. And has anybody else got a birthday today? Anybody else sharing a birthday or yesterday?
Next week?
Wednesday. All right, we'll do you in advance then, Josie. So there we are. So we've got Jackie and Josie. And as usual, we can't sing throughout the service. We can't sing. We can hum and we can speak. And please do, even though we're covered up, please do speak. So let's say happy birthday to Jackie and Josie. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Josie and Jackie. Happy birthday to you. We are so looking forward to seeing you happy birthday again properly, but you'll have to do for the moment.
Yes.
Yesterday, I barged in on the family gathering that was at Jackie and Mark's place. I had a reason, which was to give a card. And it was just great going into this house. I've not been in the garden before. And you go through and you go up and up. And there were people coming out from every pore of the house and garden. There were kids and adults, all part of Jackie and Mark's family. And Jackie was just saying before the service that the family really loved to have the gathering on the birthday, the family gathering. And there's something really important about the regathering. With all the stuff that goes on and pulls us apart in life generally, isn't it good to be gathered together? So we had to sit facing one way and speak one way, but we can take a moment just to look at one another and say a hi. So we're now gathering together. We do our murmuring, our starling murmuring here. We're gathering together. Hi there. Some people can't get you very often. Karen, you're working often. You're delighted to be here. People are here on holiday. Zach, we haven't seen for a while. It's great for you to be here. And something I've not said for a while, which is definitely true, because people have come here from Northampton and they've come from all sorts of places, South Wales. This particular group of people will never be together until heaven. We will never be, this particular combination of people will never be together in one place until heaven. So just have one more look at each other, because this is it. For the moment, this is it. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful thought? Every one of you, precious. You know, and it's just fabulous. And Ian, who can't see you, is hearing all the laughters and the sighs and groans and the aches and pains. He's hearing things, but we're all here together. So these words from Peter, who we're going to be thinking about a little bit later. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you'd not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We're going to worship to the living Lord who has called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Let's pray. Let's use this time to give our words of praise and adoration.
We truly magnify your name, O Lord. And we thank you because there's so many of us here who have experienced the miracle of being born again. We thank you so much for your mercy. Yeah. We didn't know what we were looking for. We didn't know what was the matter with us. We weren't sure where we were going in life, but we knew we hadn't got it right. And you looked and you saw us and you caused us to be born anew. And it really is amazing that so many of us are walking miracles and loving you more and more and grateful in a way that we never dreamed we could be grateful. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your loving kindness day and night, all the time. We give you praise. And Lord, we thank you. Help us to remain faithful all the days of our life, no matter what is happening in our world. Whatever is going on, help us to be true to you and to stay close and not move away or change our minds. We ask for that, Lord, in your goodness and mercy.
Amen. Well, we pray for the G7 leaders, Lord. We've certainly heard so much about that. We pray, Father, that with all the life-changing power of Jesus Christ in their hearts, that they would have agreement which causes power. We pray, Father, that they come to that pivotal point between ruin and reconciliation, repentance. We pray, Lord, that they repent together, Lord. We pray for the whole world, Lord, that they would come to that pivotal point between that ruin and reconciliation, repentance. With the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What a joy it is to come into your presence this morning with all those friends that we love in this place and those friends who aren't with us because they don't feel ready to step out yet. We remember them too and how much they would love to be here to sing your praises or to say your praises. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful weather we're enjoying and for all that you have given to each one of us. In Jesus. Amen.
Lord, we pray as we hear your word that we will know you. That was the expression, the desire in that songwriter's words and worship song, that we might know you. And I pray as Christine brings us your scripture, your word from the Bible, we would hear you speaking to us. We would know you right here in this place through your word. Amen.
Joy. Reading is taken from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 21. It's on page 1090 in the Church Bibles. After Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee, it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, Throw out your net onto the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple who loved Jesus said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 meters. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals, and there were fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring your fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but so many the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead.
Thank you, Christine. Simon Peter enjoyed fishing. It was his job before Jesus called him to follow him and be his disciples. It's part of who he was. And so it's not surprising that Jesus called to him while he was fishing. And he did a miracle while he was fishing. And then gave him some fish to eat. He knew Peter very well. Now, we were going to have a children's activity at this point if we had any children with us, which we normally do. And I was going to ask them to draw something that they really enjoy doing, and Jesus doing it with them, because he's interested in us and what we enjoy doing. That's why I think he was particularly came to Peter while he was fishing. Aside, I think it's really funny, isn't it? You know, we're all hot and bothered here, and we've had a reading about being on the beach and getting in the water. And for some of the people who are not here this morning, I bet that's where they are. So God knows what we're like. He knows what we're like. He has a great sense of humour. What do you enjoy doing? We can know Jesus in it. Last Monday morning, I went walking with Jesus. I wanted to spend some time with Jesus. The best time for me is just to go walking. And I bumped into Connie and Liz, who normally sit here, with Debbie, who was with them as well. And I said them what I was doing. This obviously hit a note home with Connie, because when they went home, Connie and Liz told Dad Paul what they'd been doing, and they'd met Stephen walking with Jesus, even though they couldn't see him. And Connie then said, "We're eating with Jesus." They were having lunch. She absolutely got it. And the previous day, having had communion, we were eating with Jesus. I thought, isn't it wonderful that Connie, six, I'm not quite sure. How old's Connie, Debbie?
Five.
Five. Any advance? Five. Isn't it wonderful that a five-year-old, if we're listening, will teach us so much? So right now, whatever you're doing now, whatever you're going to do the rest of the day, let's do it with Jesus. So, we've been challenged this year to adopt the scripture for the Great Commission, to go to all people groups and make disciples. We reflected on that challenge at our last church meeting. As a church here, as with many churches, we've not been good at making disciples, who in turn make other disciples. But God is full of grace and mercy, and he's helping us to take a fresh look at what it means to be a people that make disciples. Be disciples and make disciples. And we looked at who Jesus is. It always starts with looking at Jesus. Our worship expresses what we believe about Jesus, think about Jesus, our relationship with Jesus. Already the words, the beautiful songs that we've been given to help us worship this morning have done that. We read God's word. We see Jesus in his word. We see him in creation. We see him in one another. But particularly we see him in his word. What happened on the Sea of Galilee in our reading this morning would have reminded Simon Peter of what had happened the first time that Jesus told him where to fish. You can read the full story in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Jesus had been teaching a crowd of people from Simon's boat. And after he finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deeper water and let the nets down for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish, their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they almost began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." That was Peter's first encounter with Jesus in that miraculous way. By the time we come to the story that Christine read for us this morning, Simon Peter has denied Jesus three times while he was being falsely accused and sentenced to death. Simon Peter needed to be reminded that he was a sinful man. But much more than that, Simon and the other disciples need a reminder that Jesus is Savior. Why was Jesus called Jesus? Joseph, the man who would bring Jesus up as his son, was told by an angel to name him Jesus. Why? Who can tell me? Because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus is the Greek equivalent to Yeshua, which means Savior. Jesus loved Simon Peter so much that he did exactly what was needed to remind Simon of his sin and that he was his Savior, the one who could rescue him from his guilt and fear. Can we have the next bit of the reading, Christy?
Continuing on from verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep."
I believe that Jesus took Simon back to the beginning through that miracle and then gave him breakfast and the other disciples. He loved him to show that he needed to ask for forgiveness and to be forgiven. You don't hear the words said in those terms, but that's what was going on. I believe that Simon knew Jesus was his Savior, but he also needed to know him and confess him as Lord, the one in charge. I love Simon. I can see a bit of myself in him. Perhaps all of us can see a bit of ourselves in Simon. He'd always been such an independent, self-reliant man, better than everyone else in his opinion. If you look through the Gospels, I won't let you down. I'll be there. I'll do this. I'll do that. If everybody, I'll jump out of the boat and go on the water. I mean, I love Peter. He did things that no one else would do. But he also did think of himself as better than anybody else. And so something has to change. Jesus still wants Peter to be the rock on which he builds the church. But something has to change. And so Jesus does it by asking a very simple question three times. The same number of times as his denials. Using the name that Simon Peter had at the beginning, Simon, not Peter, he uses the name that at the beginning, he takes him back right at the beginning and says, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Because that's what you've said, Simon, that you do. And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He doesn't think he's better than the other disciples anymore. He doesn't think he's better than anybody. Nobody else denied Jesus three times. He just knows he loves Jesus. Each time Jesus asks him if he loves him, he responds with the same word, Lord. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Yes, Lord. Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Simon Peter knows that Jesus loves him. It actually hurt him how much Jesus loves him. Simon Peter knows that Jesus has forgiven him, saved him from his sins, even denying him three times. He's forgiven him for that. And now Simon Peter knows that Jesus is Lord. And he wants him to be Lord. He wants him to be in charge. And so Jesus now knows he's ready. And he commissions him not just to catch fish, to bring people to know Jesus, but to feed my lambs, take care of and feed my sheep. To feed and lead the whole church. It is the most wonderful story, one of my favorite stories of the Bible. How about us? Jesus calls all of us to go and make disciples, those who seek to follow Jesus, to become like Jesus. But before we can do it, while we are doing it, we need to know three things. Do you know Jesus loves you? How do you receive his love? How do you abide in his love? We are dearly loved by Jesus, just as we are, because of who we are and who he is. He doesn't wish you were someone else. He loves you for who you are. How do we receive that love and abide in that love? We are all wired differently. We have different spiritual temperaments. As I said earlier, if I want to know God's love, I always picture Jesus on a beach, and I will normally go out and walk, and that's my way of spending time with him. Each of us are wired differently. Whatever it is, we need to do it. To spend time abiding in Jesus' love. We can do anything. I asked a question once of a study group I was part of. How do you enjoy God? And there's one young man, lovely guy, one of our preacher in the church that I was part of. And great with teenagers and inspiring them and so on. A really lovely guy. It completely threw him. No one had ever asked that question before. And he didn't know how to answer it. How do you enjoy God? Many of us may not even think we're allowed to. But how do we enjoy God? And he was struggling. I said, well, what do you enjoy doing most? He said, skiing. So I said, ski with God. God created the mountains and slopes, and he even gave us the ability to put sticks of wood together to create skis. So what do you enjoy doing? Do it with the Lord. How do you enjoy God? How much time do you spend one-to-one enjoying God's presence? We want to do all of life with him. Work with him, cry with him, laugh with him, everything with him, sleep with him, all the time. But also, how do we spend one-to-one time? Do you know Jesus loves you? That's the most important thing. Everything else I've got to say is secondary. The most important thing is Jesus loves you. I've tried to catch everybody's eyes today, most people's eyes. It's you he loves. Second question, do you know Jesus as your Saviour? It's a name that can roll off the tongue, particularly if we've been in church for a long time. It's in lots of songs. It was in our first song, My Jesus, My Saviour. What does that mean? Is there anything that he has not forgiven you for? The answer is yes, if you haven't asked him. It's part of a discipleship course, when I've done it with people. I've often asked people, at judgment in heaven, there's going to be a long scroll with everything you've done wrong written on it. Can you picture that? You're in heaven, and you're in front of Jesus, and there's a long scroll with everything on it that you've done wrong, that God knows and remembers. When I get there, what's going to be on that scroll? Pardon? Say it louder for the recording, Josie. Nothing? Nothing. Nothing. God has the power we don't have to completely, perfectly choose not to remember. That's what being a saviour means. And we're rescued now from the fear of worrying about there being something on that scroll. There will not be anything on that scroll because of Jesus dying on the cross. That's Jesus being saviour. So that thing that you have not forgiven yourself for, but God has, be obedient and forgive yourself. Let it go, because God has. Is there anything that he has not rescued you from? Saviour is about forgiveness, but also about rescuing us. The Psalms are full of David being rescued from a pit, or the miry clay, or all the stuff that we're stuck in. There are things that we get stuck in, whether it's addictions, whether it's fears, whether it's the past. Jesus wants to set you free from everything that holds you and binds you. And if even as I'm speaking now, if there are things that are holding you, ask him to set them free for them. And if you need someone to help you, sometimes we do. We'd love to help you. Leslie has a particular gift from God in coming alongside people, helping them to be set free. And there are other people here, similarly, who are very good at coming alongside, speaking truth. So if you know there's stuff that's holding you, that you are not free, then knowing Jesus as Saviour means being set free from that. And then the third question, do you know Jesus as your Lord? If Jesus is not Lord of all, then he's not Lord at all. If Jesus is not Lord of all, then he's not Lord at all. Is there a room in your house? Your house is your life. Is there a room in your house, in your life, that Jesus is not allowed? He's not Lord of that area of my life. I'm just going to... When Jesus talks about it, I'm just going to... He needs to be Lord of everything. And we could fight and argue, but we'll never be free. We'll never be happy until he's in charge. I became a Christian when I was 16. And I was given a little booklet. And I recognized through reading this that my sins had separated me from God. And that I needed a saviour. I needed someone to forgive me. And that was Jesus. And I remember asking him to forgive me, and a great weight came off my chest. I could picture it now in my bedroom. I could picture being forgiven. But it wasn't until a couple of years later when I got to university that I realized what it meant for Jesus to be Lord. He was my Savior, and I started talking to him and reading the Bible and praying. But in terms of him being Lord of my life, in charge, on the throne, that was something I had to discover. And it was many years later, after the birth of our first child, Maria being little, probably Sophia's age, 4 years old, it wasn't till then that I really realized that I was dearly loved by God. Until then, my view of God was the sort of teacher in the sky who's waiting to go bang and get you back in line. All about right and wrong. And God is concerned with right and wrong, but first and foremost, he's a God of love who loves you and wants to bring you into repentance and forgiveness and freedom. And he wants to deal with right and wrong, no question about it. But he doesn't start there. He starts with love. So we need all three. We need to know that Jesus loves us. We need to know he's our Savior, and we need to know he's our Lord. So, what's our relationship with Jesus? Which of those three questions, perhaps, is not a straightforward answer? Your answer to those three questions will shape every aspect of your life and will also show itself in whether you want to obey the command to go and make disciples. Just going to remind you of what that scripture is. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age." We need that clear vision of Jesus as the one who loves us, the one who forgives us, the one who's in charge. And then we have to go and make disciples. We have to follow Jesus and make disciples. This is a quote from Andy Glover, who leads the Fresh Streams Network of Baptist Churches. "A person who is learning to be like Jesus and learning to do what Jesus could do." That's what a disciple is. A person who's learning to be like Jesus and learning to do what Jesus could do. Discipleship is the process of becoming who Jesus would be if he were you. To be a disciple of Jesus, you have to learn what Jesus taught. But more importantly, you have to do what he taught and did, and then seek to replicate it in others. It is intentionally following Jesus throughout your life, through the ups and downs, faithfully trusting that you will progress forward in your relationship with God over time. It's how we can determine if we've really committed our lives to Christ. We start taking seriously his commands and actually doing them. Once we've learned Christ's teachings, we have to pass them on to others. Each of us should become a discipler whilst remaining a disciple ourselves. Now, I like this next bit. And as I'm looking at you now, I'm not really picturing you with curly horns, but we should all look like sheep from the front and like a shepherd behind. So Josie, as you look behind you, just have a look for a moment. You're looking at a sheep, which is Suzanne. You know her very well. She's a sheep. She's a sheep who's following the shepherd. But Mark, what do you see as you look at the back of her head? A shepherd who is leading you to Jesus. And that should be the same for each one of us. We're a sheep from the front and we're a shepherd from the back. It's a good picture, isn't it? It's a good picture. So, if we go and make disciples the Jesus way, those disciples will in turn go out and make disciples. So what is the Jesus way? And the answer is what we've just read in the Great Commission. Firstly, it's who we are. Baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In baptizing, in being baptized, we become a new creation. Baptized into Jesus' death. Putting to death the sinful nature and receiving new life. We are born again by the Holy Spirit. We're adopted as children of God. We are known as the Beloved. We know Jesus is our Savior. So firstly, in terms of making disciples, it's who we are. That's what we tell people. It's who you are, first and foremost. We baptize them. We celebrate that new birth. And then it's, what do? Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Have we been good as a church in that? We may have baptized people, but have we taught them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded them? We are to do the same things that Jesus did for the same reason that he did them. Obedience to the Father and to see the kingdom of God come on earth as it is in heaven. His rule and reign. Faith showing itself in real works. We know Jesus is Lord, and we show it by how we live. So it's who we are and what we do. It is not complicated. If somebody tells you the Christian life is complicated, or the Christian message is complicated, it is mysterious and deep, but it's also really simple. It's who you are and what you do. And the third one is what happened after he gave this great commission. How do we do it? In whose power? This church and every church has in the past been full, and sometimes it's just one or two, but whatever it might be, we all have been in the place, all churches, where some or all of us are struggling to live the Christian life in our own strength. We are Christians, we're to obey Jesus, but we can't miss out the power by which we do it. Jesus only did what he did by the power of the Holy Spirit. He didn't do it because he was God. You need to have a think. I've said that many times, but keep thinking about it. Jesus did not do what he did because he was God. He left behind all the divine power of being Jesus. It was because he was full of the Holy Spirit. If you read the Gospels, you'll see it. So, Jesus modeled what we can do. He did nothing without the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can do nothing without the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus told all the disciples to wait in Jerusalem to be clothed with power from on high. To wait. The good news is, we don't have to wait in the same way. Because Pentecost has already happened 2,300 years ago. We live in the age of the Holy Spirit being poured out on all flesh. As long as you've been baptized, you've believed in Jesus, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he'll fill you up every day with the Holy Spirit. We cannot live the Christian life, we cannot make disciples in our own strength. And that's probably why the church has failed to make disciples. Because it was trying to do it in its own strength. So, the simple gospel, so we can pass it on. We can't pass on complicated stuff to other people. Simple gospel. Do you know the love of Jesus? When was the last time you said to somebody, God loves you? I've done it every now and then, but I haven't had the opportunity for a long time. It's too long. It's the most wonderful thing when you look someone in the eyes and say, God loves you. Do you know Jesus as your Saviour, forgiving you all that separates you from God and other people, and rescuing you from all that holds you captive? Do you know Jesus as Lord? Does he sit on the throne of your life, guiding you, blessing you, giving you a reason to get up in the morning, and giving you peace and sense of satisfaction when you go to bed at night? That is the gospel. It's a simple message for us and for others. We can ask other people those same questions. Do you know Jesus loves you? Do you know him as your Saviour? Do you know him as your Lord? It's a waste of time trying to do life without Jesus being Lord, as those who become Christians later in life will affirm. I became Christian when I was 16, so I escaped a whole lot of trouble. But speak to some people who became Christians a bit older. I wish I could have become Christian earlier. So, if the children were here, we were going to do a song, which I don't think we'll do because it's hot and we need to finish promptly today. We'll save it for another time. But it's an adventure following Jesus. It's an adventure learning of him. It's an adventure living for Jesus. It's an adventure following him. Let's go where he leads us. Turn away from wrong, for we know we can trust him to help us as we go along. It's not a children's song, really. It's a really good song, isn't it? It's an adventure following Jesus. It's an adventure learning of him. Let's go where he leads us. Turn away from wrong, for we know we can trust him to help us as we go along. Let's pray. Father God, out of your glorious riches, please strengthen us with power in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. Root us and establish us in your love, and give us your power to know how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen. Let's just have a moment of quiet. And those questions, do you know that Jesus loves you? Do you know him as your Saviour? Do you know him as your Lord? Just have a word with him now. And if there's one of those or all of those that you need to know, ask through this Holy Spirit that Jesus will show you and come to you in that way. Jesus, we thank you for your love, that you love me. You love each one of us here. Lord, set us free from everything that binds us. Be Saviour to us today. And Jesus, be Lord. We ask you to sit on the throne of our lives. Forgive us when we've pushed you off, when we've kept you out. We want you to be in charge. Because we know when we're surrendered to you, that's when we are completely free. Amen. Just have a short time now praying for others. And as we're praying, there may be people you know, might be in your family, might be neighbours, that need to know Jesus loves them. Might be someone who needs to know that Jesus forgives them. Or someone's in a mess and they need to know that Jesus can rescue them. Or it may be somebody who will not confess Jesus as Lord. They won't say he's in charge, and you can see they're just heading off in the wrong direction. And we can't do anything necessarily, but we can pray. So in this time, Let's pray. If you want others to say amen to your prayer, to come alongside you, then say it out loud. If not, say it in your heart. Lord, when you saw the crowds, you had compassion on them because you could see they didn't know their right hand from their left. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Pray, Lord, for our neighbours, those people we've met maybe only once or twice, who we can see are so lost. Lord, we pray that you would open their eyes to see how much you love them. Lord, I pray that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit and give us eyes to see as Jesus saw and the right words to speak as Jesus spoke. Help us not just passing by those who are lost, but to care, to come alongside, to listen, to speak an appropriate word. Lord, we know that many of us spend most of our time with those who already know these things. Lord, I pray that you'd give us those opportunities to be with people who don't know that you love them, that don't know your forgiveness, that don't know you are Saviour and Lord. Lord, may we look outward this week. I pray that there will be opportunities because you are the God of the impossible. You're the God who uses us because you know what we're like. Help us to have a Holy Spirit boldness to reach out in a way we've not before, for your sake and for the sake of those who are lost. Amen. If you said amen to that, look out in a good way. Now let's look. Let's have, perhaps next week be great, wouldn't it, to share stories of, you never guess what happened in this week. I met so and so. You know, that's what we need to do. So we're going to finish with a hymn, which is just an older version of It's an Adventure, Following Jesus. Let's go where he leads us, turn away from wrong. For we know we can trust him to help us as we go along. It's just an older version. Trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. It's true, isn't it? So we'll sing this one. Or, sorry, we won't. We'll do everything but sing this one. And Jesus' promise as we go out and make disciples is this: and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Amen.